Welcome to The Dish, this new podcast, the NBA podcast. I got some co-hosts with me. I got Dom, not Dom2K, but Dom, you want to say what's up?
Yo, what up? It's your boy Dom Church 97, aka Dom's a Ball, aka your mom's favorite midnight snack. How you doing?
All right, we also got the man B-Souls. I'm sure you guys all know who this guy is from YouTube.
All right, what's good, everybody? Welcome to The Dish Podcast, first episode. Excited for this whole project.
All right, for sure, for sure. All right, and so today we got a few topics to talk about. You know, it's pretty interesting. First up, we got one of the most talked about things so far this season. Oklahoma City Thunders and their struggles. They're, I think, 14 and 15 now on the year, almost 30 games into the season. This is a team that people were like, it's going to be the second, third best team in the Western Conference. Give the Warriors a run for their money. And right now, it's looking like they're going to be fighting to make the playoffs. So,
trash.
What do you guys think the source of their struggles so far has been this year?
Is this a question?
It's not Russ.
No. It's Russ. It's like 25% Russ. And the other...
Right, 25%.
Yep, 25% Russ, 10% Sam Presti, and 100% Melo.
SEC, am I the only one thinking that's a little too low on Russ?
I think 25% for Russ might be a little bit too low.
Little bit? Okay, 30% Russ.
I'm thinking 40.
40% Russ?
I'm thinking 40, 45, 50.
How good can you be playing with Melo?
I'm just saying.
Lucky poor Porzingis.
That's true. But the thing is, the Melo make Porzingis worse?
I mean, no, not imagine really. If Porzingis could have been this the whole time.
I mean, yeah, like, but Porzingis still wasn't like shooting terribly from the field last year. He wasn't like the reason the Knicks, he wasn't a part of the reason the Knicks were terrible last year.
But he wasn't getting the ball enough.
That's true.
It was very visible, like from the stands, like people in the crowd could see it. Porzingis wasn't getting the ball enough.
But you still got Westbrook getting the ball this year, and he's been bad.
Paul George seems to be able to make it work. He's had plenty of games where he went off.
Dom, I was watching the Philly game, right? And you know how it was a close game at the end?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I looked at every offensive possession, and they straight up just ISO'd Russ every time. There were times where Melo was wide open, and Melo was pretty good. Melo was good that game.
Nah.
But Paul George was the one that was cold. Melo was doing fine. He was wide open.
And Russ didn't pass
the ball. And Russ had like a tunnel vision attitude after he got like the offensive rebound or whatever. They just ran the same exact play every time for Russ.
And that's one of Russ's faults. And I'm not one to say that Russ doesn't have any faults. I'm not one to say that Russ does have any issues. But knowing what Russ's problems are, knowing what his issues are, you should put players around him that can fit that. Michael Jordan had his ego, Kobe had his ego, and there were players that you could put around them to make it work.
What players were Russ?
You know, see, you need some players with some Roberson mentality, you know? Like who?
So last year.
No, basically. I didn't say Roberson skill. I said mentality. Don't get it twisted.
Name some star level players.
Some Roberson mindset players.
Get you a
Patrick Beverly, a Nicholas Batum. Nicholas Batum could play with Westbrook. You need guys with no ego, basically. And there's some good players out there without an ego. That's all it is. Melo has an ego. Like, you see, honestly, he gave you a sign this year when they asked him that whole coming off the bench question. That should have let you know how the season would have went. The way he treated that question, he still has an ego. That should have let you know exactly how the season was going to go for him. Like, he was going to be a issue. I'm going to stop saying D issue because it's obviously more than Melo. I just hate the nigga. It's just easy to point the finger at him. But
That's all true. But so Westbrook is to blame, or part of the blame, that's for sure. We're going to come back to that. But someone who I've noticed hasn't been getting as much blame, mainly because he's been amazing on the defensive end, but on the offensive end, he's still been... He's been a bit slacking this year. It's Paul George. He's putting up 20 points per game, but then you look at his shooting percentages, and he's shooting 40% from the field. And down the stretch, we all know that he hasn't been able to deliver at all for the Thunder this year. They go to him. He comes up empty. Really, they go to everyone. They all come up empty for the Thunder down the stretch. That's where they struggle a lot. So do you guys put any of the blame on him?
I would say so. Like, just a little bit. I wouldn't say he's the biggest.
Just because it's a big three, you have to put a part of the blame on each and every one of them. Like, each member of their big three. But I think it weighs more towards Westbrook and Melo than it would to PG.
Right.
Yeah. Just because the team's main issue is defense. And the fact that even though PG struggles from the field, he still have a night where he'll go for 40. And he's still consistently playing defense. Like, regardless if he's playing bad or not, like the Pacers game. He could be shooting terribly. He's still going to play defense. So that I'm not going to say that's an excuse. It's just it lessens the person's ability to point the finger at him first.
Yeah, I think some of the reason that Paul George is like being inefficient this year might be because of the other factors. Because Billy Donovan doesn't know how to coach. Russell Westbrook, he's Russell Westbrook, the whole isolation thing. Sometimes he just passes it to Paul George late in the shot clock, and that's why he's getting these bad shots. And Melo, I don't even know what to say about Melo.
Melo don't pass at all.
Melo don't pass at all. Chris Bosh is averaging more assists.
Bro, Chris Bosh playing with the big three in Miami averaged more assists than Melo is playing with Westbrook and goddamn Paul George. If you don't find an issue with that, you don't know basketball. That's not good. Like, Melo's averaging, at this moment, the last time I checked probably a few days ago, was 1.6 assists. Every game it goes down, so it's probably at 1.3 now. So, Westbrook's terrible. I mean, Melo's terrible.
Oh, he slipped Westbrook, the truth.
Westbrook's just bad. Hold on. Westbrook's bad. PG's bad. Melo's terrible. Yeah. Oh, 1.5. Right. 1.5. See, I told you, wins down. It goes down every game. 1.5.
And just to clarify, we're being hard on Russell Westbrook, but none of us here think he's a bad player. Like, you had to be insane to say Russell Westbrook is a bad player. It's just that we don't think that he's helping them win games right now. That's basically what it comes down to. He's not playing well, and the Thunder are struggling, so clearly he's going to be under some fire here.
I just think he can be so much better. Like, the mistakes he's making right now should not be happening in year 10.
Right.
The turnovers he's making, the shot selection, this should not be the case in year 10.
Right. You watch him play, and it's like some of the shots he takes, some of the passes he makes, the decisions, like, it makes you want to pull your hair out just trying to watch him do this stuff. It's awful.
Yeah. Is it fair to say he's this generation's AI?
I would say it's definitely fair. That's a perfect comparison.
That's who I compare him to. From someone we've seen before, more athletic, less flashy, more when it comes to ball handling, AI. Just like a guy with, I won't say with an ego, like, I don't feel like Westbrook's one of them guys that just has an ego to where it's like, you don't want to play with him. It's just the way he plays the game is just different from other people. Like, he just plays with it. He plays with a mentality of, it's just me and the ball. And you get a couple guys like that every generation who's just, it's me and the ball. And you need role players with those guys. Like, stars can't play with them.
Yeah, it's not like they don't want to play with them. It's like they look at him like, I don't think I can play with him.
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
I don't fit next to that.
And the sad thing is, if he had the right coach, I think it would be different. Certain players just grow out of control because they don't have good coaching. And you've seen a little bit of that change with AI when he had Larry Brown. Like, Larry Brown forced that change into him. And even when he couldn't change AI's game all the way, he changed that system to fit more towards AI. He brought guys in to bring out the best parts of AI, and they got to the finals. He got an MVP. I feel like a guy could do that with, if you get Mark Jackson or Dave Fizdale in there, I feel like they can change Westbrook a little. They can change him a little bit, and he can kind of see the era of his game, and he'll probably have more respect for him.
Yeah, they need an experienced coach. You can't get like a young coach like Billy Donovan is, who doesn't have much professional experience in the NBA, and tell him, go coach Russell Westbrook. It ain't going to work out. Because he doesn't know. He can't not cut for that job.
Yeah, when that happens, you end up losing KD.
Right.
Speaking of KD, would y'all put some of that blame on why Russ is so out of control on KD? Because if he's the leader that he was supposed to be in OKC, shouldn't he hold Russell Westbrook accountable? Or was it like KD was trying to hold Russ accountable, Russ just wouldn't change?
I think KD fell into the same kind of, I won't say trap, but he had kind of the same mindset that the front office had. Like, when it came out to, when it came to his MVP speech, you can look at that for the biggest reason I say that. He was like, people put so much blame on you and they should be putting it on me. Like, they, everyone's quick to blame you when it's half the time it's my fault and blah, blah, blah. Like, KD, he wasn't putting blame on Russ. Like, KD was trying to lighten the load on Russ himself. So, that's why I'm saying, that's why when people usually would say, oh, Russ is the reason KD left. No, it was the front office. And it was that mindset of, okay, we're not going to, it's KD's team, so we're going to put, we're going to blame Russ for when something goes wrong. And then half the time with the team or in the front office, no one's blaming Russ. Everybody, like, they're pointing fingers everywhere else but to Russ. And it kind of got to KD after a while.
That's true. I also don't think Russell Westbrook saw himself as any less of a player than Kevin Durant. Like, if you were to ask him who's better between you and Kevin Durant, I don't think he would say Kevin Durant. So I think he was slowly starting to become the player he is today, even with KD on the team. Because you saw it happening in OKC when people were like, who's the Batman, who's the Robin between Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant? Where Russ was trying to, like, take over the team basically from KD. Yeah, I think, honestly, I think Kevin Durant might have seen a little bit of that, and that might not have been the whole reason, but I think he knew that in order for him to actually win and to become a better player, he couldn't do that alongside Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. I just feel like Russ is an alpha male player. Yeah. That shouldn't be an alpha male player. And if he wasn't an alpha male player, he'd be one of the greatest role players of all time. Cause he has all the talent. He has all the talent. It's just straight up in his head, in my opinion.
I think a lot of that came from when KD went down and Russ had all that time with the team by himself. 2015. And they seen how good the team was with just Russ. I think that, I won't say boosts his ego, but that boosts his belief in himself of being the number one player. Because if you think about it, with all the questions of, are you a Robin? Are you Batman? Are you the sidekick? Or are you the main hero? Then the main hero goes down and the team looks just as good with you and you're playing. Like, that's when the questions of can he average a triple-double really started.
Yeah.
When KD went down. So
what was it, like, an 8-game streak of triple-doubles back then?
I thought it was like 10. I thought it hit double digits. So for him to do something that and have people questioning, well, could he break history, that puts a whole nother belief in yourself. And I feel like that's around the time he started, like SEC said, he started to become the Russ we know. He started to take more courageous shots. He started to take the ball and not want to pass. He started to try to run the offense for himself. That's what happens. You can say it's ego. Some people say it's confidence. And I'm not going to get mad at him for having the utmost confidence in himself after giving people and himself a reason to do it. It's not like he's going out there putting up Lance Stevenson numbers and having his confidence. He went out and was doing something like amazing without KD. So it put the belief in him. And this is a guy who grew up watching Kobe. Anybody who grows up watching Kobe is going to have that goddamn it's me and the ball mentality. I don't care who it is. Look at Kyrie. Look at Westbrook. Look at James Harden. When they're by themselves, they show out. They can still be good teammates at times. They still make bad decisions at times. But they show out by themselves. That's what Kobe did.
I just think, like, at this point, you should know. You should be mature enough to know what's working and what's not.
That's true.
What is it? Year 10 in the league? You've had all the talent you could ask for. Except for the coach. Like, you really have no excuse to be playing this way.
But still, with the talent, you need a coach to put the talent on the floor at the right time.
Yeah.
That's where coaching comes in. You can have all the talent in the world. If you're not using it the right way, it won't work. Case in point, Steve Kerr and Mark Jackson.
All right, so we got the problems out of the way. It seems like Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, and the coach have, like, the majority of the blame here. And then we know a little bit on Paul George because he's obviously part of the team, a big player on the team, so he's part of the blame too. Now, what about the solutions? Like, what do they have to do in order to get this thing going in the right direction?
I think it's a group effort. I don't think it's one aspect that's going to change everything. I think Russ has to change a little bit. Melo has to change and stop acting like he's still a, like this superstar player. He really should be the Chris Bosh of the team, but he's trying to be fucking D Wade.
Melo needs to stop thinking he's top 50. He's not top 50 anymore.
He's not saying, top 50. Like, we were bugging about that list, but
hold on. Be honest. Y'all was bugging about that list. I was like, what? Yeah, Robert Covington is better than Melo. That makes sense.
But, dog, you were being sarcastic.
There was no one that honestly agreed with that list. And Melo's ranking is
better than Melo. I'm not going to lie to you. I was saying it then. I'm saying it now. Covington.
I don't even think ESPN agreed with that list when they made it.
Only two people knew who was better. Right. Covington knew he was better and I knew he was better. That's all that mattered.
They were just trying to stir up some controversy and wound up possibly being right.
That's crazy.
They're like, Lonzo is better than Melo? And I was like, low key?
I mean, neither one can hit shots, but at least you got Lonzo rebounding the ball and getting assists.
And getting assists, doing what Melo's supposed to do defense. And more.
And playing defense.
Melo's supposed to be a rebounder.
I mean, Lonzo knows how to play his role, right? I don't know about Melo.
He can fall back on something else.
Yeah,
man, he's like the exact opposite of a player of Carmelo Anthony. It's crazy.
Going back to the question, I think it's not just one source. It should be everyone.
I think honestly, one of two things: either trade everybody, like literally everybody on the team, just trade them, rebuild immediately, or trade everybody but Westbrook and just rebuild around Westbrook the right way. That's the only way I can see it.
That is a good point, because at this rate, I don't think Paul George is coming back. Like, even if the Thunder turned this around a little bit, I at this point, I can't see him wanting to come back with how much of a mess this has been. I know he has to feel like he can be so much better and have a better opportunity to win somewhere else. So, would you trade him?
I mean, see, if you trade him, you're not getting anything back. Like, you won't, it's no, you will have a better chance of letting him walk. Because what would you get for him? Like, he's already said he's going to LA. Like,
if you can go get a nice 3-and-D player from someone that, you know, good enough to be a starter that you think could put well next to Westbrook. Because honestly, that's what I think they need to do. They need to get like a bunch of 3-and-D guys, because Westbrook is going to be ball dominant. They don't need another star.
Paul George for Jaylen Brown?
No, I wouldn't do that to Jaylen Brown.
Listen, Paul George said he was willing to stay in Cleveland. I feel like Cleveland would trade Kevin Love for him.
Is he a 3-and-D? Does he have the D part?
But it is somebody Westbrook would trust. He did play in college with him. True.
The Cavs are rolling right now.
Would they mess that up?
But it's like, for PG, so say they make the move to get DeMarcus Cousins. I say they should. If they do that, then they should. If they decide to keep this team the way it is now, then no. But if they go out and get Boogie, you might as well get Paul George too.
Would they have the pieces to get PG if they get Boogie?
I don't know.
Who would they give up to get Boogie?
I mean, according to Nick Wright, they don't have to give up Kevin Love. So
that's what I'm saying. They do that? Like, they would give up Tristan Thompson. I say Tristan Thompson, Channing Frye. Draft pick? Yeah, they would have to give up the draft pick, Tristan Thompson, and Channing Frye, he said? And then they could make the move. But are the Pelicans taking? I don't think the Pelicans are taking that. I mean, the only way they're taking that is if he comes out and just blatantly says he's not coming back at all. Like,
yeah, that's I don't think.
But for that pick,
because if they take that, that means they most likely have to get rid of Anthony Davis, too. They just have to start over.
But from what I'm hearing, it's DeMarcus Cousins. They're trying to keep AD and DeMarcus for this season, and then see if they can re-sign him in the offseason. That's what I'm hearing.
If they don't sign DeMarcus, they need to trade AD and blow it up. Honestly, I understand these teams, they need their money, but you don't need to be wasting players' prime. Like, that needs to be like a, I won't say a rule, but bro, Adam Silver needs to come out and say something. Like, you can't just sit here and waste these players that everyone wants to see win.
You have a player that's been on all NBA team, you can't make the playoffs, you got to get rid of them.
I'm saying
they can implement that rule somehow. I'm pretty sure it's possible.
The The save all NBA players rule.
Call it the Anthony Davis all rule. NBA
players. Call it the NBA cares rule.
NBA cares.
Doesn't sound like they do, man. They're like, oh.
Just like if you've been in the lottery for year after year after year, you're not getting better. You don't get a draft pick the next year. You got to get better.
I'm saying, man, you got to put some pressure on these teams to actually develop their talent and actually get better. If you're not gonna do that, teams are just gonna have these shitty teams with probably one superstar and make their money, and they're not gonna care. Look at the Pelicans. Why are they built like that? They're a disgrace.
I'm saying,
like, they're a disgrace.
How did they get like this? How does it get like this?
Like, oh, I'm thinking about it. Like, how like, did it get to this point?
You
just look at
the roster. You see Anthony Davis. You see DeMarcus Cousins, and where's the rest of the money? Where'd it go?
It went to Drew Holiday.
And it's like, how do you build a roster like this?
Like, who's in charge here? Why are you in charge? That's the question.
It doesn't make sense.
And this isn't the first time, like, New Orleans has been trash. Like, the league had to interfere with New Orleans before. So this isn't new. They have to again.
I mean, you look at the Golden State Warriors. They have Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala. They have all those great players, plus some other young players like Jordan Bell. And they can afford to have all that. And then the Pelicans. What is their roster?
With nothing but AD and Boogie.
Headband Rondo.
When they signed Rondo and Tony Allen, I was like, yeah, y'all officially don't know what the fuck y'all doing. Like, y'all just acting like y'all just like,
we need shooters. All right, let's get Rondo and Tony Allen.
Tony Allen. Like, we have two big men. Let's space the floor. Rondo, Tony Allen. That's the answer. Like, whose mans is this? Who said it was a good idea to do that?
I feel so bad for AD, man.
Man, like, AD's wasting his career. And he said he wants to stay. He wants his goal.
He wants to be like a Tim Duncan type player.
Yeah, he wants to bring a ring to the team that drafted him. Nigga, you're bugging.
You can't be loyal to these trash organizations.
You can't be loyal to teams that's not loyal to you.
Even Tim Duncan almost left the Spurs. He almost went to the Magic.
Yeah.
So come on, AD.
Oh, I know that.
By this time, AD was supposed to be the best player in the league.
Right? What happened?
That's what we were saying. By this time, AD was supposed to be one of the most complete players we've ever seen, which he is. It's just that he doesn't have the wins.
People just don't write him off because, like, he's on the Pelicans. I mean, yeah. What's the matter?
And we were looking at his athleticism and, like, his skill set. We didn't know Giannis was around the corner. We didn't know Ben Simmons was around the corner. So
it's just like DeMarcus Cousins, too. His whole career has been wasted so far.
Exactly.
Could have been one of the most dominant big men ever. He could be one of the most dominant big men ever, but
he's on the he just can't win. Kings and Pelicans. Then you put both of the futures bet, like, we put two big men who everyone assumed were going to just dominate the league on the same team, but you give them no help. Like, just zero. Just like, it at makes least no sense. Dwight Howard had Turkaloo. Like, bro. Like, at least Turkaloo. At least he had Jameer Nelson. At least he had, you know, Courtney Lee.
At least he had a coach.
At least he had players that made sense to play with Dwight Howard, you know? Yeah. It wasn't like back then they gave Dwight Howard middle world peace was Ron Artest, and Ron Artest had game back then, so that don't even make sense. It's not like they had Tony Allen back then, you know? Imagine Tony Allen on that team.
I mean, even with LeBron, we clown the fact that he didn't have help in the beginning. I'm not saying he did, but at least the players he had, they could shoot. I'm saying, yeah,
they could shoot. Mo but Williams. That's it.
The Anthony Parkers. Who remembers Anthony Parker?
Yeah. Anthony Parker. Oh my God. Jamario Moon. You know, mo-capping for NBA Live. You know you're a goat when you're doing that.
I'm saying.
Even Sean Marion at the end of his career, at least he could shoot.
He had Shaq at one point. Like,
yeah.
Even though Shaq was just Shaq. It wasn't even no Q in that point. Like, he was so washed. It was just Shaq. Like, damn
Shaq.
It.
Yeah.
Just like, NBA cares.
You ready to say Shaq, and he'll just fall after you try to get up dunkers and just Shaq. Oh, shit.
Shaq. And he's done.
God damn it, Shaq. He's rolling on the ground. Hella long. Easy layup.
It's just sad for these players. Because they're ultra talented. Then
Kemba Walker's in the same boat with the Hornets.
It's so sad. Well, not
like
that.
As he could be like the best player, but he could be a really good point guard for an actually really good team. But
it's
the Pelicans.
Man, it's crazy to think that supposedly the greatest player alive owns a basketball team and don't nobody want to play for him. Don't nobody want to, like, fuck that. What?
Because we might be living in probably the most talented, most people would say it's the most talented era of all time.
Right.
But it's probably the worst managed era of all time, too.
Man.
That's what sucks.
It's money hungry. It's the most greedy era. It's the most greedy time, too.
Because some people just try to keep their stars to get tickets. That's probably
what New Orleans is doing right now. Are the Hornets even selling tickets, though?
The Hornets aren't selling tickets. I don't know what they're doing.
Like, honestly, if that wasn't their goal, would they sign Dwight Howard?
I don't even know. I think they still have a mindset of, let's make the playoffs, and that's about it, because you get more money if you make the playoffs, because you get to sell more tickets.
Yeah.
But that's obviously not even going to happen this year or next year or the year after that. Kemba Walker is going to be a free agent. Has to be soon. Feels like it should be soon.
Yeah.
So they just got to blow that up, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Which leads us into the next thing. Other disappointments in the NBA besides the Thunder. Are you guys disappointed with anything else? Teams, players, anything?
I'm thinking
Wiggins. I'm disappointed with the Bucks, honestly.
The Bucks.
Yeah. I'm disappointed. I had the biggest expectations for them. Like, I had the biggest hopes. Like, they were going to make the big leap. And I was...
You said they're going to make the finals, Dom.
Yeah, I did. I said they were going to make the finals. Now I'm thinking Eastern Conference Finals is their max. It's just because I knew Giannis would make this leap, and I just felt like Don would. I felt like Brogdon would make a leap in his abilities. You know, he's got some confidence rookie of the year. I just felt like players would get better, and kind of the same. Like, everybody stayed the same, but Giannis. It's like everybody was like, wait.
I thought Thon would at least make some type of progress this year, but he's been
like a bona fide starting center in this league.
I get the fact that he's like a long term project, and it's what, year two, so it's too early to write him off now, but he's shown no signs of, like, you hear like everyone say, oh, he's such a hard worker. He's been putting in all the hours at the Bucks practice with Giannis.
And you don't see results. He's a practice player.
Would y'all put some of the blame, or actually most of the blame, on Jason Kidd? Because he's done a great job of developing Giannis specifically, but in terms of the other players, has he actually done a good job of coaching everyone else?
It seems like it.
I mean, Middleton has been nice. I'm not going to put it on. I think their roster is just very incomplete. I think they could for sure use Jabari Parker back, because that'll slide Middleton back to the two guard, most likely, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And because their two guard spot's pretty bad, I think they're starting DeAndre Liggins right now. So
DeAndre Liggins.
They need to put Brogdon at the two. I don't know why
they need that. But the thing is, they want Brogdon off the bench because they have no bench. Like, that without Brogdon, they have nothing. Like, I think they have Jason Terry, who's like 39 or something, or 40. And other than that, that's about it. So they really need Brogdon off the bench. I think that's why he's not starting at the two. And then there's also the problem with their center. They're starting John Henson at center, who's kind of undersized. First off, he's more of a power forward, but in today's NBA, he plays center. He's not a good rebounder. He's a decent shot blocker at times.
His main goal is to be a shot blocker, and he's decent at that. That says it all.
I mean, he'd be a good backup, but as a starter,
they kind of wanted him to be their backup and Thon be the starter. I just don't think it's panning out with Thon. Like, Thon isn't where they thought he would be, where I thought he would be. Like, I thought his development would be better, but how many minutes is he averaging a game?
What, Thon?
Yeah, is he like playing consistently? Like,
he's playing consistently. I think he's feel like he's getting like 15 or so. Let me check it up. He's getting
decent.
Yeah, he's getting 19 minutes per game, but
Is he starting?
No, he's not starting. He started a few games, but 4 points and 3 rebounds in 19 minutes per game.
That's not... Oh, come on, Thon. See, I'm disappointed in the Bucks. So that'll be my number one team. Other than the Bucks and Thunder, I mean... who's the team
I'm disappointed? I would say Cat low-key so far.
Carl Anthony Towns. He's had trouble adjusting to that new team.
Yeah, Cat and Wiggins too. Because Wiggins, I'm looking at the stats right now. He has a negative... defensive, offensive, and box plus minus. They're better like, when he's off
the court. With them just being so young, they were like, weren't expecting to have to be so good so fast to be able to compete with like Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau because they want to, their mindset is, let's win.
We're in the fourth year though, SEC. We're in the fourth year.
Oh, this is Towns is like 30, isn't it?
Yeah. But still, like,
I get it. It's not like you can't, like, say, like, oh, he's just young, but he has to be good. But I think it's going to take a little adjustment period, especially on the defensive end, because they're both trash defenders. We've known this for a while. And then that's not going to fly with Jimmy Butler, especially on the team. So
Wiggins was supposed to be a defensive specialist coming out of college, too.
He has all the tools. He's athletic, long arms, quick.
But 6'8".
Don't play no defense. It's easy to look real athletic and quick against college kids. It's a whole other thing when you're playing against NBA players.
I mean, even on the offensive end, he's athletic and quick, but on the defensive end, he's just so, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's so Wiggins.
I'm saying, but yeah, I thought he was going to make the leap to be
right,
the best big this year.
Back so far.
The fact that Joel Embiid made a bigger leap to be the best center than Cat did. It's kind of sad. Not sad. Yeah. It's kind of, I mean, I like Embiid more, so I mean, I'm happy with it, but feel bad for you Cat fans.
I've had a feeling Embiid was going to become like the best center in the NBA one day.
Bro, after Boogie said it, I was like, I can see it. Then it's just you're just waiting for it to happen. Like that.
There's really nothing he can't do on the court. I mean, he's just dominant. That's the only way you can describe
scary?
Him.
And you know what's scary? There's going to be more players like him and Giannis.
That's a fact.
He's up in some like Giannis didn't start playing basketball until 2008, and B didn't start playing since 2011. So these international guys with size and length,
Luka Doncic,
they're not playing basketball. Like they're playing soccer, they're playing any other sport that's not basketball.
Yeah.
Like so, imagine when they actually start playing from when they're like 3 years old, when they're 4 years old, like American kids. It's a wrap.
Yeah. Like, okay, I remember this conversation we were having like a year ago, right? We were talking about who you'd build your team around, Karl Anthony Towns or Giannis. But now that I'm looking at it, would Cat even be a top four option?
He wouldn't even be a top 10 option to build your team.
I mean, you got Ben Simmons,
you got Embiid, Porzingis,
Giannis.
Honestly, I might build a team around Donovan Mitchell.
I don't know, that's a stretch, but it might not be the worst thing in the long run either. Bro, how can the truth be a stretch?
I don't know if it's the truth because he's still a rookie that only played like 30 games.
Would y'all build your team around Cat or Lonzo moving forward?
Cat or Lonzo? It depends on your team. It depends on your team and how you're building.
Yeah,
it depends on how you're building.
Yeah.
I know Lonzo's going to be a really good player. I can't see him shooting like this. Yeah, you can see it. You can feel it. That he's going to be really good.
Anybody that can give me almost 10 points shooting damn near the worst anybody's ever seen, I got confidence in because your shot just got to drop. At first, I was thinking, okay, Lonzo can't shoot. Now I'm just thinking, keep shooting until you get a rhythm.
It's not just us that see it. It's like all the players. Like you ask about players he goes up against on other teams, not of course the Lakers teammates, but they all see it too. Like, oh, he's going to be really, really good.
Beverly said it the best. His first night in NBA, he was just being tough on him. Welcome to the league. His dad talks trash, but no players came out and said like he can't play.
That's what I'm saying.
Other than guys from Philly, but they talk trash to everybody, so that's not new.
Like, even Joel Embiid said he likes Lonzo's game.
Yeah. Because honestly, like, if you look at it, all the criticism Lonzo's getting, where are they actually coming from? Just a bunch of talking heads on national TV.
Like, your first takes in Colin Cowherd shows. Like, that's all it's coming from.
Like, he's getting respect from almost every single player in the league because they know how much pressure he has.
I mean, look. Not even that. Look at the former players that go on the shows. Like, I've seen who? What was Earl Watts? Earl Watson? I was thinking of somebody else. Earl Watson came out on the show and on those shows and tried to defend him. Steven Jackson came out on the shows and tried to defend him. Baron Davis came out on the shows and tried to defend him. A lot of former NBA players go on shows and try to defend Lonzo. It's just these networks know how to push their envelope.
Like, I get the concern with his field goal percentage, but look. The guy's averaging 9.77, 1-1.
It's like people aren't like. Right. It's like they're just not focused on any other part of the game but shooting and efficiency, and it's weird. Like if you're worried about efficiency, that means you're looking at the box score and you're not looking at the game. Like, yeah. I understand he's missing shots, but you're making it seem like he's going
out there. Same people that bash on Lonzo, the people that say Westbrook's better than Stephen Curry.
Oh my God. The fact that you're right, that makes it worse. The exact same people.
Yeah. But has there ever been a rookie that has had as much pressure on them as Lonzo Ball in his rookie year?
I'd say LeBron, but
yeah, I might say LeBron.
You think LeBron has had this much pressure? I think the fact that Lonzo's playing for the Lakers, it had like a whole lot more pressure.
See, I think the fact he's playing for the Lakers elevates it to that LeBron level of pressure, because LeBron was the first player to really be nationally covered in high school. LeBron was that guy coming onto his team, and his teammates didn't even have faith in him. Like, everybody knows that Darius Miles goddamn quote. Like, his teammates wasn't even high on him. He probably had like one teammate that was high on him.
Yeah,
and look what he was able to do from day one. Not even it started to take a while. Like, from day one, LeBron was an impact player. From day one.
But then after that, though, like, the pressure was kind of lifted. Like, literally after the first game, people stopped doubting LeBron.
I mean, it was lifted for like a solid 2 to 3 years. But then once like guys like Stephen A were looking at it as like, he's too good to not have a ring. That pressure
Then
the pressure elevated because they were...
I'm just talking about, like, specifically, like, for a rookie year.
I mean, yeah. At first, the initial pressure from LeBron, but then he kind of relieved that with his play. No other rookie has had that much pressure put on them than LeBron himself. No other rookie's been put in the same situation as LeBron and Lonzo. I mean, how many guys have been drafted to their hometown team to be the hero other than Derrick Rose? Like, what guys have had that pressure? And Derrick Rose didn't even have pressure going to the Bulls. It was just like, oh, they got Derrick Rose. It just so happened he's from Chicago. Like, no one was saying he's a savior. No, he's not the chosen one. He's the next MJ. None of that. It was just, he happens to be from Chicago. Cool.
And it's sad because none of this pressure was even brought up by Lonzo. Because LeBron was calling himself the chosen one, I don't know how that story came out, but did he self proclaim the whole chosen one thing?
I think it was. It was like a sports article thing, and he just ran with it.
Sports magazine,
but he was rolling with it, right? But Lonzo, he's straight up just playing.
But see,
and it's all LeVar.
But this is what I say about LeVar. What was LeVar saying about his son?
I mean, he said he was better than Stephen Curry.
But see, in what way, though? hold on. I'm not trying to defend it, but if...
I mean, you said this specifically. You put Steph Curry on UCLA, and you put Lonzo Ball on the Warriors, and let's see what happens.
His reasoning behind that was Steph Curry is going to try to shoot the ball from deep and be an offensive player. My boy is going to play for the team.
But... He was acting like the Warriors would be better with Lonzo Ball than with Stephen Curry.
Bro, come on. He was building the brand. Okay, he was just trying to create.
Here's the thing about those quotes. It's like reading a joke when you're reading a text. Like, when you actually watch him say it, you know it's nothing serious. But then when you put it like on Photoshop and make all these graphics and these articles about it.
It looks way worse.
Exactly. But when you actually watch the footage, it's not that bad.
And it's the fact that he says so many of those type of things. If it was just like once or twice, I'm like, oh, but if he says like every single day he's saying something like that.
It's one thing. I would agree with y'all wholeheartedly, and I would be against LeVar if he's coming out saying that Lonzo's about to come out and drop 40. Lonzo's about to come out and kill this player. LeVar's whole point behind why Lonzo's so great is why Lonzo is so great. He's for the team. He's a playmaker. He passes the ball. All those things are what he's great at. I'm not going to say I agree with him. I'm not going to say he's just better than Curry because he's a playmaker and he's great. But I can see where – I'm not going to say I see where he's coming from. He was trying to build a brand. He was trying to – get a reaction out of everybody so y'all pay attention to him, and which everyone is doing, which is working just fine. But I feel like people are just taking it out of, like, y'all, I get it, but people are taking the quotes out of context. Like, it's not like LeVar is just saying, like, the pressure with Lonzo is his shot, but it's not like LeVar was saying, oh, he's about to come to the NBA and scorch the league. I understand if he said he's about to come to the NBA and drop 40 and now everybody's worried about his shot. He didn't say that. He said, my boy's going to come out and try to get the win for his team. My boy's going to come out there and move the ball, pass it, do everything he has to do. And that's what he's been doing.
I mean, he did say playoffs, though. Rookie.
Rookie of the year and playoffs.
Hey, listen, the year's not over, bro. We can still make playoffs.
No, it's over. It's over.
Eighth seed, I'm calling it an AFC.
They ain't making the playoffs. Listen, bro,
we just got to hit that wave, man. We just got to hit that. Listen, you seen the Cavs hit it.
That's going to be a huge wave.
The Clippers went on an 8-game losing streak, and they still have a better record.
It ain't over, bro. It ain't over.
You ain't making the playoffs.
We're making AFC. Remember all these doubters, guys? Remember, never. What flight say? If you're a real bro, flight fan,
no, you don't did you not sit down. Say
you did not just call flight.
If you're a real Laker fan, bro, stand up, bro. Only fake fans sitting down. What you mean, bro?
We sit making the playoffs. Did he say that right before he lost? Like again,
he said that right before he got dunked on. I guess I don't know.
Oh man.
He quoted flight.
That's how you know it's real, man. When you quote flight.
I don't know if I should be sad for you, Dom. Because you just quoted flight to make yourself more positive about the Lakers season.
You got to be optimistic, man. Listen, bro. With that flight mindset, bro, you can be as bad as you want to be. You can see the light no matter what. Remember his reasoning to why he lost his, like, bro, no one gave me credit, man. I dribbled out of that corner. Most people would have picked the ball up. So you got to be optimistic like flight. Listen, y'all
you gotta
see,
find the positive in everything.
Listen, bro, y'all see 10 and 17. I see AFC eventually, bro. It's what it is.
I see potential for a huge run.
We just hit that wave, bro. Listen, I hit that wave, man.
That's that Luke Walton coaching mindset. That's the most positive coach I have ever seen. I swear, after every single loss, this was a good learning experience. We're one loss close to our next win.
This man Don said we needed that loss.
That's exactly what he'd be like, man. We'll take a loss, but hey, we needed that. So now we know what not to do when we watch a film. We needed that loss. It makes us better, man. It teaches us.
This is your 70th loss of the season.
Hey, man. We learn it from 70 just like we were learning from 20. And just
that
like we were
just gives
from
us
one.
70 losses to look over in the summer to see what we did wrong.
Hey, we got game footage.
I swear, bro, Luke Walton is the flight of all coaches, bro. Like, no matter what, we got to see the positive. We lost by 30. Hey, man, we were in it in the first quarter. Now we just got to find out how to keep that energy going, man. We just got to watch that film. It's good. We're real young. And we're still learning. I love these guys. These guys are amazing.
No, but on a serious note, though, are you concerned about Luke Walton a little bit?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Not yet.
I'm more in favor of this type of coaching of young guys than what Tom Thibodeau was doing. You know, just playing 48 minutes and kill him, you know? I mean,
That's a fact. He's doing that again with the Bulls.
I
like what Brett Brown is doing.
Play him. Just say they hurt and don't play him at all and develop him. Yeah, that works, too.
Yeah, no, but it's like Brett Brown, he's hard on them, but at the same time, he understands what they're supposed to be, what the year is supposed to be.
But see, we're kind of behind the Sixers in the power curve of developing our talent because, you know, we got Brandon and we got Lonzo. And after that, you know, we got Clarkson, who was a second round pick. You know, we got Larry Nance, who was a 20th pick. We got Kuzma, who was a, like, 20th pick, you know?
Randall?
He was a 7th pick that we're about to let walk this year.
Yeah, KCP?
KCP, who's not going to be here next year. You know, we're not in the spot we need to be development-wise with these young guys. And we're still learning, you know? Give us Ben Simmons, you know? Hey.
I'm just saying.
Different team.
Wait, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, it's not like they've been in the league for a long time.
Hey, well, technically, Embiid's been in the league a while. He's been in the league for a while.
Y'all were one pick off of Ben Simmons.
Hey, Ben Simmons wanted to play for us, and he did everything he could, all right? I respect Ben Simmons. It just didn't work out.
He had like a magic jersey and everything, yo. Ben Simmons and Ellie.
My god!
He would literally be the second coming of Magic Johnson at the Lakers.
That would have been,
and he would have lived up to it too,
right? And like the comparisons, it would have been like crazy.
It would have been a better fit because he's the size, you know. Lonzo, when you compare him,
he's
Lonzo
literally
to
magic right now.
Yeah, Ben Simmons okay, is literally
but here's the thing. If Ben Simmons actually went to LA, who would have more pressure, Lonzo or Ben Simmons?
What happened?
I think it would still be Lonzo just because of how his dad talked about so much.
I don't think
so
we would have got Lonzo if he had Ben Simmons.
No, but I'm saying
like in two different universes, who would have more pressure if Ben Simmons?
I still think it would be Lonzo.
Lonzo still had the pressure.
Yeah, true. Because Lonzo still has the whole next
Lonzo still
great
has
point
LeVar.
Guard.
Yeah. Lonzo still has, as long as he has LeVar, he's going to have that pressure. But I mean, listen, one thing I like about him having this pressure on him, and one thing I'm real happy with LeVar with, is putting that pressure on Lonzo. He's forced to perform no matter what. And the games that he's actually played great, despite the Suns game, he's played some good talent. He's played talented teams. He's played guys that could play. The bad games, they come against the Nets. They come against the Hawks. The Magic actually pretty solid this year. The Mavericks, it comes against bottom feeding teams. I mean,
the Magic are a solid team this year?
They're decent.
I completely slipped
by. They're not the worst team in the East.
They started off like a 6-2, so they're 11-29.
Y'all have a better record than them. They've been the worst team in the NBA.
Listen,
they've been playing
on.
Like it at least.
I forgot the season done advance.
Hey man,
about 3 weeks.
Free everyone last on the left. Free every player on the Magic.
Listen, last time I looked at Orlando, they looked decent. I'm sorry, I ain't looked at Orlando in a while.
That was like the biggest tease okay. they ever
Damn.
Gave their fans.
Charlotte is 10-19.
Yeah, so you know what? Bad. Let's replace Orlando with. Let's pretend I just said the Knicks. Let's edit that out. The Knicks or the Pacers. You know the Pacers are a pretty solid team. You know, so Lonzo plays good against actual. I'm not gonna say actual competition, but he plays good and get in games that you know he should play good in. You know, he plays good in his first time playing in the Garden. He plays good against his idol, LeBron James. He plays good in high-pressure situations. Now, yes, he doesn't score in the fourth quarter, but that's not his game. I'd rather have how many assists is Lonzo getting in the fourth quarter? I've heard people all... Hey,
he set Brandon Ingram out for that game, whatever, game Philly.
That was nice.
And he played it perfectly. And people were coming at the shot he took before that. I mean, bro...
It was kind of a setup for that.
Yeah. And he played it perfect. There was that IQ, bro. LeBron said it. It's a gift that only certain people have, man. You don't get it all the time. LeBron got it. CP3 got it. Lonzo got it.
Yeah. And Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Ben Simmons too. Ben Simmons got
Because I saw like a video on like how Rondo plays and shit like that like a couple years ago. And what he used to do was he would run a pick and pop with KG, throw a behind the back pass, and then he'd come down the court the next possession and do that little fake he does, and that's why it works like almost every single time. So that's how it is.
Another thing with Rondo, even though he couldn't shoot, when you gave him space, he was great at attacking off the like Rondo could finish. That was one thing.
Yeah.
He couldn't shoot, but he could finish, and that's what Lonzo's having problems with. But I think it's just because I don't even think Lonzo expects to get to the rim as easily as he does. Like, I'm not gonna say easily. It just seems like Lonzo, when he gets to the basket,
he's like, whoa, I'm here?
I think it's just because of his pass-first mentality that is like, he gets to the basket, then he's like, oh, I got a shot. He puts it up. It's like, and it's not going to go in because he wasn't going in with the mindset of, I'm going to score this.
Yeah. You can see it when he's trying to finish. Like, the way he finishes like a, oh, shit, I'm actually here. Oh, whoa.
Right.
And with an urgency at the last second. Like, he doesn't finish with a, okay, I've done this. I'm not gonna say it's weird. It's just he gotta adjust to it. Once he actually gets it down, once he gets his rhythm going, look, 50 games in, that's when I have my impressions of what Lonzo's gonna be, and he still has to develop. So he's still gonna change. But that's when I start being critical of Lonzo. 50 games in, after the All-Star break, whatever. But as of right now, I just let him play his game and beat him. If he's shooting goddamn 12% from the field, let him shoot 12% from the field. He's still top 10 in assists. He's still one of the best rebounding guards.
Loki has passed 4-ish games. They haven't been
that bad
like,
shooting.
Amazing from the field, but he's been shooting
solid.
The ball better.
He's been getting better. Thank you. He's been getting better. And if you pay attention, whenever I watch Laker games, I pay attention to him all the time. The way he scores the ball is not, and people say he need to get to the line more. His game isn't about him attacking to get to the line. Like, literally, he's either setting you up with a dribble drive or a drive and kick, or he's taking a shot. That's why he's shooting so badly, and he's only averaging like 9-8 points. once his shot starts falling, he's easily averaging 15, 16, 17 points because he's hitting 2 to 3 threes a game after he's pulling four. He's hitting like a couple jump shots here and there because he's open. And his game is just smooth. It's just the games where he's shooting, you know, 1 for 72 that, you know, fucks up his percentages.
1 for 72.
I'm dead.
I don't know how we got to talking about Lonzo Ball. We were talking about disappointments in the NBA, but
Going on from disappointments,
I guess we got to start talking about one of the more pleasant teams that have been in the NBA this year, the Houston Rockets. How good do you guys think they have been this year? And do you guys think they are like an actual threat to the Golden State Warriors?
No. I'm gonna say right here, I am so sorry for making that video on saying how Chris Paul to the Rockets would not work. Yep. I'm apologizing right here because it's definitely working, as we can see.
Chris Paul, I'm sorry if you ever hear this. Little Chris, you know, his son, if you ever hear this, you know, I apologize. I'm a big fan of yours. I hate Melo, and I gave Melo a better chance of being a better teammate than you, Chris. I apologize. You can slap me when you see me. I don't know what I was thinking. I deserve it.
Melo a chance of being a better teammate than Chris Paul. I gave Melo
a chance of changing his game for the team more than I would Chris Paul. Just because I see, you know what it was? Because he played for the Clippers. I'm sorry. I'm a Laker fan. Everything about the Clippers is terrible. So
That's true.
It was just you in the Clipper jersey, Chris. You know, it just seemed like. You were a diva. You know, you're in L.A., you're in the State Farm commercials.
I thought you were the shit, man.
I just thought you needed the ball. You know, you started chasing that bag, you know? I thought you wasn't going to change, Chris, and you did. And of course, Melo didn't change. I should have known that. You knew that. You're his friend. You knew you wasn't going to change. I don't know why I did. So I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry to everybody that I said didn't know basketball when they said that this would work. Obviously, y'all know more than me.
Really, we should have known. Well, going back to Melo for a second, we should have known that he wasn't going to change his game when LeBron James said he didn't want Melo on the Cavs. I mean, that should have been like the number one sign that this wasn't going to work out. I mean, like, LeBron, one of his best friends, was like, "I love you, but nah,
you that over there. That over there. We good here."
He said, "Kevin Love, look, I know we got chemistry issues, but."
I know we got issues.
Shit might be worse. Shit might be worse.
I'm saying, we don't got Melo issues.
It could be worse. It's sad, too, because they're friends in real life, like right. Outside the court. And then LeBron's like, look, we're good. We're good.
Melo texted him, like, LeBron, let me come to Cleveland. LeBron, like, new number, who this?
He said, I'm not sponsored by Samsung anymore, bro. Oh, man. Yeah. But yeah, Chris Paul's been phenomenal.
So the Rockets are a threat to the Warriors?
No.
That quick,
you don't think
that
so?
That quick? That's not worth consideration.
Listen. Only reason I say they're not a threat to the Warriors is because you can't beat the Warriors at their game.
Yeah.
Just because the Warriors mastered that, so they can see it coming and they know how to. The Warriors wouldn't know how to play is their own style of play. Like, you're not beating the Warriors playing their style of play. That's the biggest thing with the Warriors. You want to take them away from playing their game, and it's just going to be a race to see who can get 140 first. And you're with KD on the court. KD, Curry, Klay. The fact that Klay can give you 60 without dribbling is already scary. Then you throw Curry on there. You have to pick one from half court, and you got to pick KD up from half court. Basically, when they inbound the ball, it's a problem.
But now, I think... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
But I think because Chris Paul and James Harden are so ball dominant that they might be able to slow the game down and set the pace.
I don't think they necessarily play the same game as the Warriors. They're both great offensive and great defensive teams, of course. But, I mean, that's what you want out of any team that has a chance of beating the Warriors. So I don't think it's fair to say that the Rockets don't have a chance when there's such a great offensive team, they've been playing really, really good defense. Like Clint Capella, low key looking like DeAndre Jordan 2.0 this year. It was like 2 blocks, like 11 points, and like 14 rebounds per game or something like that. So yeah. I just think that they have they do have what it takes. It's just going to come down to, first, if Chris Paul can stay healthy in the playoffs. See, if that was a Chris Paul curse or a Clippers curse, and then a James Harden. And then James Harden can not have a meltdown. If he can play, if they can play like they've been playing in the regular season, I think they for sure have a chance of beating the Warriors. I still have the Warriors favored, but I wouldn't be surprised, like that surprised, if the Rockets did win.
Are they the biggest threat though? I think.
I still think that's before Cleveland or after Cleveland?
Including Cleveland.
In the West. Including Cleveland? I think Cleveland's their big, Cleveland's the biggest threat. Cleveland,
just because LeBron.
Yeah. But
honestly, we just trashed on the Thunder, but if they click, wouldn't they be the biggest threat?
The Thunder?
Cool. The Thunder.
I don't know. I can't see them being better than the Rockets right now.
I mean, no. When they click, they've beat the Warriors. So, I mean, it's not impossible.
Did they? I don't even know if they clicked.
They clicked that night. That was probably the best night from the Big Three. All of them were. Didn't they outscore the Warriors? The Big Three outscored the Warriors that night.
They blew them out, I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
the Big Three themselves outscored the Warriors.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
At one point of the game.
Because if the Thunder click, they can make Golden State not play their game.
They're dangerous. They're dangerous.
Do you think it's just like an inherently bad matchup for Golden State just because of the way the Thunder are built?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would it be crazy to think that the Thunder are playing like this so they get to play the Warriors in the playoffs? So they get that
7th or 8th seed? SEC with the conspiracies?
He said, let's get it over with first round and then we'll meet the Rockets next.
Because maybe they can't beat the Spurs or the Rockets if they get matched up with, or the Wolves even, if they get matched up with any of those teams.
But so they're like, the Warriors? You know what?
Let's just knock the Warriors out. That's our mission. We ain't winning a championship. Let's just knock the Warriors out.
Let's go out with a moral victory, you know? Let's go out with something. Let's take out the Warriors.
Because low-key, Paul George said he would stay if they beat the Warriors. They never said in what round.
Oh, man. Man, but yeah, I think if the Thunder click, they're the biggest threat.
I hope the Thunder stayed where they are now, because a first round matchup between the Warriors and the Thunder would be amazing.
And then we get to see probably San Antonio next round, and then Houston.
Man,
if the Warriors still sweep through that,
if the Warriors sweep through that, cancel the NBA.
Yeah,
cancel it.
If the Warriors sweep through the Thunder, the Thunder, Spurs and Rockets, it's a wrap. It's a GG.
And they beat the Cavs in five? Oh,
they're the greatest team. They're the greatest
dynasty. If they don't sweep and they like struggle with that, that's the best thing that can happen to Cleveland.
The more games they play,
Cleveland most likely is still going to have a pretty easy time. Maybe Boston will see how good they do in a 7-game series, but Cleveland's still, for the most part, going to have a cakewalk to the finals again.
Look at
and they'll be well rested. While the Warriors, on the other hand, have to go through team after team after team. But that's good.
Even if that happens, that might bring out the best in Golden State.
You think? I don't know, man. But then again, it could wear them down.
It could either wear them down or like push them so much that they might go like Super Saiyan.
But see, like LeBron did basically in 2016.
Exactly.
Imagine a goddamn, like, I look at it like this. 2016, LeBron got to the point to where he's seen how bad people will go on him if he lost to the Warriors in four games. In five games. Yeah. The first time. Well, the second time they match up with help. And he was just like, like Jesus came down and just gave him the secret serum. Like, he talked to Lord Beerus and he just showed him how to be.
He said Lord Beerus.
taught him how to be a Super Saiyan God, you know? Like, Beerus just came down and was like, LeBron, it's time for you to take the same potion Goku took, you know? We're gonna teach you right. And LeBron just turned up. Imagine KD, Steph, and Klay on the same serum. Oh, my. RIP NBA. RIP. Beerus just comes down, donates some of that Super Saiyan Godness. Oh my god!
Because that's kind of what happened with Boston in 08. Because they had, what was it, two game sevens the first two rounds, and then they might have went to seven in the Eastern Conference too, or I think they went to like a hard fought six, and then they just came in the finals and destroyed. I'm sorry, Dom, but they kind of
blew. It's all right, man. That's when Powell was soft. It's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's when Kobe straight up after the season was like, "Powell, you soft."
and didn't learn how to speak Spanish, and we came back, and what happened in seven? Yeah. History.
So, Greatness. So it could either be like 2016, where the Warriors faced so much adversity before the finals that they got tired in the finals, and they got so beat up, or it could be 08 where it might bring out the best in Golden State. So.
Low key though, LeBron, I feel like in the finals this year is going to be, I don't even know how to describe how great he could be in the finals this year, LeBron, because he was amazing last year and then he's playing so much better right now. Right now he seems like he's playing like he is in the final, was in the finals last year against Golden State. And like, this is still regular season LeBron.
This is not playoff LeBron.
This is not playoff LeBron or finals LeBron. So
this is just regular LeBron. This is just, we're getting to get through the season LeBron, and he's playing like this. Like, honestly, I feel like LeBron this year, he might tap into his inner Jordan and Kobe. Like, he might do the 2-3 justice.
I think, honestly. I think what's driven LeBron at this point is Kevin Durant thinking that he's better than LeBron. That's now. True. So I think LeBron's like, this LeBron can't happen
might,
again.
LeBron might do that man's so dirty. He might treat him like he's back in OKC in 2012 again. I'm scared. I'm scared for my man's.
Hey, man, I'm going to be on record right here. If the Cavs win this year, LeBron's the greatest of all time. He's the greatest.
I've been saying it. I don't got to go on record saying that now. He's been the GOAT, so it's just more reason for him to be the GOAT.
All right, people were saying that last year. They were saying it because no one expected LeBron to win last year. Like, no one was saying, yeah, the Cavs are going to win the series. No.
Yeah.
If somebody said that, you didn't take him serious at all.
That's a fact.
Like, people just said that just so they didn't seem like, just so it could seem like there was hope. Just to make themselves sleep at night. Because I said it. I knew the
win. I was saying it too. I was like, Captain 7. Captain 7, baby. Yeah,
I just said it because, you know, let's go against the grain. Let's hope. Let's pray for history. What shit about to happen? I thought they were going to get swept, honestly. I was surprised they won that one. That one game seemed so rigged. Like, I won't say rigged. It was just like God turned the sliders up. He was like, I can't let this happen to them, man.
I
can't let
this happen. I was just saying in my head, like, low-key, they did it once. They can do it again. I'm like, no, they're not.
I'm about to say, can they go and like,
it's 3-1 again, it's 3-1 again. Nah.
Oh, yeah, that's probably like, did it.
This is just the next level. 3-0 is the next level, you know what I mean?
They're going to come back from a 3-0 lead. They're going to blow a 3-0 lead. The Warriors are terrible. Smack.
No, that couldn't happen.
Oh, no. The moment somebody blows a 3-0 lead, it's over. You shouldn't be allowed to play basketball no more.
Yeah, you're done.
KD
would have left. Steph Curry would have left. That team would have been done. There's no coming back from that. Speaking of the Cavs, they still don't even have Isaiah Thomas yet.
Like, they're this good without their second best player.
That's crazy.
Derrick Rose are playing. Nah, let me stop. IT's not even playing. They're this good.
He said Derrick Rose.
I'm saying,
man. No, but.
Hey, man, but thank y'all for watching the first episode, though. Means a lot.
Many more coming, man. Many more coming. We dishing out all these episodes.
Hey.
Oh, man. Oh, that was too funny.
Thanks for watching, guys. All right, listening.
All right, man. SEC, you got a lot of shit to cut up.
Yeah.
It's Flo. And you know what word I don't get? Shampoo. The first half of the word is sham, and the second part you definitely don't want to see in the shower. That's why I made up a neat word. Flotection. The feeling of security you get when your new house is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. I mean, seriously, shampoo? What part of that makes you want to rub it all over your hair?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.